Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
We are thankful we have a shepherd. I pray, Lord, that you would show us this morning why that is such good news. We'd encourage our hearts through it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think that most of you probably read this, especially if you were in Colombia a couple years ago, about the story of these four kids that were trapped in the Amazon jungle for 40 days. There was a plane crash that went down near Amazonas, and it immediately killed both pilots and the mother of these four children. The four children were 13, 9, 4, and 11 months. Now, fortunately, they survived after 40 days in the wilderness. But I want you guys to think for a second. What would it have been like to be that 13-year-old? Anyone here 13? You guys have all been 13. Hey, right there, there's a 13-year-old. Imagine Pablo right here. Pablo, you are all of a sudden the oldest person, and therefore responsible for the lives of these three younger people. We don't want Pablo to have that job, right? That would be terrifying. Can you imagine the burden? I know, obviously, there's a lot of fear. There's jaguars and snakes and dangerous creatures, and there's no food. And what are they going to do for these 40 days? There's all these things. But imagine the emotional toil on those kids as they realize that they were all alone. There was no one there to provide for them. There was no one there to keep them safe. There was no one there to show them where to go. There was no one there to give them food. All of the weight, all of the pressure was on them. And I imagine especially that 13-year-old as he wondered, what are we going to do? Now, I know that probably has not happened to any of us in this room. We've never been lost in the jungle for 40 days. If you have, I would love to hear that story. But I think that we can all relate to that feeling, the feeling of burden, the feeling that everything is on me. I need to figure out how this is going to work. I need to figure out how I'm going to do this. I need to figure out how to resolve this problem. And I think you can identify this feeling in any of the places that you feel burdened. Any of the places that you feel stressed in your life. Who here has stress? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, let's find out your secrets after this. But I think we all have deep stress. And as we think about the places in our lives where we experience that stress, where we experience that burden, what we find are the places that we think that we are alone. Because we feel like we are carrying burdens that no one else has. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe you feel like the burden is all on you to make the relationships work. Maybe it's in your work. It's all on you to make something of yourself. To do something. Maybe it's with school. Those of you who are younger or in college or in high school or elementary school, maybe you feel this pressure that I need to succeed. I need to do well so that I can have a future. And it's all on me and how I perform. Or maybe it's all of us in the way we deal with our sin. Our sin seems like it's a constant part of our lives, and we have to fight it, and we're all by ourselves, and we have to stop doing these things, and we have to do it all by ourselves. Well, if you were all on your own, this would make sense. It would make complete sense to feel this way, because you would feel powerless and without any hope outside of yourself. But this psalm this morning reminds us that we are not alone. But rather, we are helpless sheep who have a good shepherd who is leading us. We have a shepherd. We are not alone. And we have a shepherd this morning that we're going to talk about how he leads us and how he delights in us. Our shepherd leads us and our shepherd delights in us. Where does he lead us? Well, he leads us to what we need. Look at the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations say, I shall not be in want, or I shall not lack. I lack nothing. Meaning that wherever he is leading us exactly to what it is that we need. He is leading us to the places where we are going to find what it is that we ultimately need. And what do we need? Well, apparently, as we read the first few verses of this passage, you learn that you need rest. You need rest. What are the first two images we get? He says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's giving this picture of places of deep serenity that he is leading us to. I went to Ireland a couple years ago, and I was able to see places where there was lots of sheep. And usually where the sheep were, it was pretty rocky and barren where they were, probably because they had already eaten all of the grass in that area. But imagine you're a sheep, and you've been living in this rocky terrain, and all of a sudden the shepherd says, hey, we're moving to somewhere new, to another part of Ireland where the hills are rolling with green grass, where there is a gentle stream going by. Doesn't that just feel peaceful? Doesn't the idea of that feel so peaceful? Well, this passage is telling us that that is where our shepherd leads us. He leads us to places where there is rest, where there is serenity, where there is peace, where there is no fear of attacks by the enemies. But you might say this morning, well, if that's where he's leading me and I'm trying to follow him, it seems to me like I'm not in a serene valley right now. It seems to me that I'm more in like a craggy, rocky wilderness, or I'm in a torrential downpour, or I am in the Amazon rainforest. You feel like you're not in a green pasture. You're not beside still waters. Where is he leading you? Well, this passage doesn't say he just leads you there. This passage also says that he leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. He leads you into places where you feel dry. He leads you into places where things are not going well in your life. He also leads you to places where tragedy or hardship strike. And he's leading you in places where even your sin is flaring up again and again. Good news about this psalm is this actually reflects our real life. We know that there are seasons in our life when we feel like there is more calm and tranquility, and there are other times in our life when we feel like we are on the edge of a cliff, ready to fall off. But the good news of this psalm does not come from the circumstances that the shepherd is leading us to. The good news of this psalm comes from the fact that the shepherd himself is with us through it all and is guiding us through it all and is telling a story through it all. Our hope and rest do not come from circumstances. They come from a shepherd's presence and leading. This is where our hope comes from. Let's think about this. Think about this. Even in the green valleys, let's say you're in a green valley, you're in a peaceful time in your life, all things considered. Even there, how hard is it for you to rest? How hard is it for you to rest? The peaceful situation that you're in, the lack of conflict, the lack of hardship, does not make your life all of a sudden peaceful. The circumstance does not give it. Have you ever tried to take a vacation? Maybe you've gone out of the city and you thought, man, I'm just going to get away from the hustle and bustle of life. And you get to the finca outside the city and you're sitting by the pool, and all of a sudden all of the things that you had forgotten about from back home start rushing into your brain, and the stress enters all over again. You're just feeling the burden. You're there. All the circumstances are peaceful. You have no responsibility on your plate in that moment, but yet you cannot shake it. The only way you can shake it is if you know that those things are not ultimately on your shoulders. And when the Lord is our shepherd, that means that he is the one who is ultimately responsible for your life. He is the one that is ultimately responsible for the good things that are going to happen or the bad things that are going to happen. He is ultimately responsible for all results, which means anything that you are burdened with, you are not ultimately responsible for. And you can turn it over to your good shepherd. And you can ask him to carry it. And he does. You are just a sheep. You have so much less control than you think you do. And here's the good news too. We hate to rest. We don't like to rest, but this passage says what? He makes me lie down. And often God gives us the grace of demonstrating to us that these things are out of your control. The grace of knowing that these things that you are stressed about, that you are burdened by, are ultimately out of your control. You do not have the power to control them. And when he gives you that insight, what does that help you see? It helps you see that only my good shepherd has the power to control those things. And I can just trust him. I can let go of my burdens and I can cast them at his feet. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Then also, when we are in the valley of the shadow of death, we can still find comfort because whether we are experiencing outward attacks by other people or by Satan or by the world around us, or we are experiencing the inward struggles of ourselves, we also know that we have a shepherd who is committed to our care and to our comfort. It's why he says, "Your rod and your staff give me comfort." He says he finds peace in the green pastures, but he also finds peace in the valley, because in the valley he still has a shepherd with him who has his rod and his staff to protect and comfort him. What is a rod? Well, these are two different things. The rod was a small club-like weapon, which was primarily used by the shepherd for defending the sheep against outward attacks. So the shepherd is there in the hardship, protecting you from the things that can hurt you. He's protecting you from the attacks of the evil one. He is protecting you from any ultimate damage to you. And although bad things, God does allow hard things to still happen to you, he protects you in such a way that ultimately the things that are most important, the things that are ultimately valuable, the things that everything else pales in comparison to, can never be taken from you. Your soul, your faith, and your eternal hope are protected by God. His Spirit will continue to work in you and to hold on to you even when you struggle. Even when other people say hard things about you, even when people try to damage your body or your emotions or your soul, they cannot ultimately destroy you because you are protected by your shepherd. But also, he's got his staff. The staff is the one that you're like wondering, why is the sheep saying he's comforted by it? Because the staff is the thing that he's using to kind of like hit the sheep or to grab him with the crook, to pull him by the neck, to pull him back on the thing. It's the thing that he grabs us with, that he hits us with, that he disciplines us with. He does that to keep us from wandering off cliffs, to wandering to places that will destroy us or damage us or hurt other people. God is your shepherd who is protecting you from yourself. So even as we continue to struggle with sin, which we will until the day Jesus comes back, God is saying that he will not let you go too far away. That if his spirit is living inside of you, you cannot wander off a cliff. He will grab you and pull you back. He will come to you and he will convict you of your sin. He will send people into your life who call you out. He will invite you to repentance and restoration. He will invite you back. He is guiding you. And you can find peace in the fact that he is the one who wants to help you overcome sin. Sin, even overcoming your own sin, is not your burden. That's his burden. He's taking it on the cross. And he says, hey, I will work in you to make you more and more like me. And so we can lean more and more into trusting him to work in us, to fight against our sin and struggle. The Lord is your shepherd. What does this mean? This means that you are not alone. The burden is not on you. To be honest, the sheep, they don't even know what's going on. They don't even know the full story of what's going on. The shepherd is the one who's able to see and knows where he's guiding and knows where he's leading. And anytime a sheep thinks that he knows and he is in control of what's going on, that's when he starts going the wrong way. But we have a shepherd who is guiding us, and he wants to tell our stories in such a way that he is guiding us to what we need when we need it. So right now, whatever situation you're in, whether you're in a situation of green pastures and still waters, or if you're in a position of rocky terrain and cliffs and valleys, wherever you are, God has led you to where you are right now. He has brought you to this point. And no matter where it is, he is doing so because he knows you need it, and he's using it to show you that you need him more deeply. And he's calling you to deeper trust in him by either showing you the goodness of what his gifts are like, or showing you the hardness of a world without him. He's saying you desperately need him. But not only do you desperately need him, you have him. And the news gets better. This brings us to our second point, because not only does the shepherd lead us, this shepherd is also the God who delights in us. Now, I know this whole summer, Mark has been preaching about how we are to delight in God. And I can't think of any better way to drive our hearts towards more delight in God than to reflect on the ways that he himself delights in us. And the whole second half of this psalm is about God's delight in you, your shepherd's love for you. The first image we see is that he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What is the image he's giving? He's giving this image of the enemies gathered around, perhaps casting accusations, perhaps throwing out threats, perhaps saying how awful you are and how unlovable you are. Maybe those enemies are external, maybe those enemies are internal, and God is saying, no, I am going to bestow my blessing on this person in front of the enemies. I'm going to show off how much I love you in front of all these people who are telling you you're unlovable. In front of your own heart that tells you, your own shame that tells you you're unlovable. I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to say, no, this is my precious sheep. This is my precious child. I love this moment in the Harry Potter movie, one of the early ones, the first one, I guess. And it's also in the book, but you know, Harry Potter has been mistreated over and over again by his aunt and his uncle and his cousin Dursley. He has been told he is worthless. He is told he is not worth love. He has been told he needs to live in the basement or live under the stairwell and not experience anything good. His cousin is constantly mean to him until there's this one point when they are off in this abandoned island area, trying to hide away from anyone who would demonstrate any sort of love or appreciation of Harry as a wizard, which he is. And all of a sudden, a knock comes on the door, and Hagrid bursts in. Hagrid, the big giant, bursts in and immediately grabs the gun of the aunt and uncle, and he turns it and he breaks it. And he says to Harry, you are not an abandoned orphan. You are a wizard. You are special. Right in front of his aunt and uncle. And then his cousin Dursley, who is there stealing Harry's cake and eating it for himself, he gives him a little pigtail. And he makes Harry feel so special that these people who have told these lies to you for so long do not have the power. The power is here, and I have it. And I am demonstrating to you that you are amazing. You are loved. You are dignified. And that's what God says to us. He comes to us. And in front of all of our enemies, he says, no, this is my precious one. I love you. I love you. I have anointed you, is what it goes on to say. I have chosen you. I have picked you specifically because I care about you. And your cup overflows with my care for you. Your cup overflows with my love for you, my delight in you. It doesn't matter what you accomplish or what you achieve. It doesn't matter what you do. He loves you, and he lifts you up in front of all who would say otherwise. And then he continues. He continues to say, your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. What he is saying is that the love of God, this delight in God, is permanent. It never stops. Goodness and mercy. This word mercy, you've probably heard this in a sermon before, because this word's really important. This word that says mercy. Mercy is not really a great interpretation of that word. Mercy captures a piece of what this word means, but there's no English word that truly fully captures the meaning of the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed means a permanent, covenantal, long-lasting, forever type of love. I think Sally Lloyd-Jones, who wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible, gives us a pretty good definition, but she needs to use like 10 words in order to describe what this love looks like. She calls it the never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. This is the kind of love that God gives to anyone that he is in a committed relationship with, which is you, if you have your faith in him. Which means that no matter how far you wander, no matter how far off the path you go, no matter what you do or what you don't do, no matter what other people say, God's love follows you to the end. He pursues you. Your goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. This isn't just follow like I'm following behind you, but it's pursuing after you. It's running after you. It is not letting you get away kind of love. This is the love God has for you. He delights in you so much that he would go leave everything to rescue you. And that is exactly what he has done for you. Jesus has left everything. When we were wandering, when the world was in sin, wandering and doing their own thing, Jesus says, no, I care about them too much. So he leaves heaven and he comes to earth in order to pursue his people and to call them back to himself. He has done that. He has had, in order to do that, he has had to be the shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. He has given his life for you because of how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. As he sits in the garden before he goes to the cross, sweating blood, realizing the amount of pain that he has to go, he says, I will do whatever your will is, God. And why? Because he deeply loves you. And he is deeply committed to you. And he will never let you go. And there's one day coming when you will be invited into his home to live forever. The end of the story, the end place he's leading us, even though it takes us through green pastures and dark valleys, the end place is his forever home. The place where we will live with him forever, where sickness, sorrow, pain, and death will be felt and feared no more. The place where our burdens will no longer be felt. The stress of life, the hardship of life will be gone because we will experience the eternal overflowing cup of our Savior at his meal. This morning, I want us to remind us that this is our shepherd. This is the one who is telling the story of your life. This is the one who is moving the pieces of your life, who is taking you to different places, who has a plan and a future for you. If you don't yet know this shepherd, this is an invitation for you to know him, for you to trust him, for you to follow him, because he wants to lead you somewhere that you cannot find on your own. If you are a sheep of the shepherd, if you are already his child, I hope that this brings great comfort to you, great comfort to your life. And I hope it drives you to something. I hope it drives you to further delight in him, to bask in his love for you, to bask in his delight for you, and then also to depend more deeply upon him, to trust in him. Why does he do these things? Why does he lead us? He leads us for his name's sake. He leads us because he wants to gain glory. And how does he gain glory? He gains glory by us knowing how deeply he loves us and by trusting him to be loving. That is how he gains glory. So let us trust our shepherd. Let us depend on him. Let us follow him and let us find comfort in the fact that he is leading us and delighting in us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the good news of this passage, that we have a shepherd who loves us and who leads us and who will never stop pursuing us, who delights in us. We pray, Lord, that we would trust the shepherd, that we would give glory to you by trusting you to be who you say you are, by not trying to carry the burdens ourselves, by throwing them at your feet. You love us, Lord, and you want good things for us. Pray that we would know that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.